couple songs this morning. They're all familiar to you, so it should be easy. Come on, put your hands together.
Up as we overflow with praise. For your honor and fame, fall again in this place. Fill us up as we overflow with praise. For your honor and fame, fall again in this place. Fill us up as we overflow.
Stronger than the power of the
runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love, your love. And on and on and on and on it goes, and it overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid.
Our God, we worship you this morning. You are an awesome God. And your love never, ever fails, never gives up on us. It doesn't matter what our story is or where we've come from. How amazing is it that your love just keeps pouring out? You just keep pouring it out on us. And so, God, we're here this morning, here primarily, first and foremost, and for everything, to honor you, to give praise to you, to give glory to the one who's seated on the throne, the one who's the King of the Kings, the one who's the beginning and the end and eternal and all-powerful and all-knowing and everything else. We lift our worship and our praise to you this morning. God, we invite you to come and fill this space. We're asking you, Holy Spirit, would you be so welcome to come and fill this service, fill our hearts and our souls, fill this space with such a presence of you, that at the end of this service, we would know we've met with God, and we would know that we have given honor to the one who owns our souls. So we ask you, God, that you would help us to do that. We ask your blessing and your covering over this whole service. Help us to worship you with everything we do, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you welcome someone to church this morning before you have your seats? Shake someone's hand, say hello, give them a smile, let them know you're friendly. we'll let you find your seats this morning. How many know it's a good day to be in church? It's a good day to be in church. It's a good day to be here together. Yeah. Yeah. We got a lot to fit in this morning, and so I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, and I hope that you'll give us a little grace and a little forget. We're going to go a little bit longer than an hour this morning. How many go, that's okay? Right? That's okay. We got a lot to fit in, and we want to make sure that we just give honor in all the right places and do the right things and all of that, so that matters to us. So if you are here, and you have been here at Evangel, and you have been here, you know, since its beginning 100 years ago, can I just say to you, thank you for coming back. It's good that you're still here. If you are here for the very first time this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to be right up front with you because I don't want you to feel weird or any pressure. But I'm just going to ask if you would raise your hand. And the reason is we got a little packet we want to give to you, and you're just going to get an email from me tomorrow. And somebody's going to give it. Just wave your hand high in the air. We got one right here, right here. He could not wave any harder. Raise it up again there, sir. And somebody's going to come. We're not going to ask. We're not going to harass you or anything like that, but just want to welcome you and make sure. Anybody else? Did anybody get missed? Yeah, right here, halfway back on your left. There you go, right there. There we go. And just thanks for coming to church this morning. It's really good to have everybody here. I have just a few announcements that I have to make. First of all, we announced, I think last week and the week before, that we've got all kinds of refugees pouring into our city. And men, they are in need. I just can't even imagine what they've gone through and what they're coming into. And I just can't imagine the trauma and the difficulty of coming to a brand new city, never mind landing in it in the middle of a Montreal winter, which isn't bad yet, but I've been told it's coming. And so the Y, just on Tupper, which is just out the door, somebody informed me, straight out here, almost walking distance, and you can almost see it right there. The Y is already, they already have 300 refugees that they're looking after, and there are a number more that are going to be coming in the next few weeks. They're already overwhelmed. They are in need of clothing, good winter clothing, especially boots. You know, boots are what's needed to be able to get through the snow. And so if you can help us out, if you bring stuff in, I was told we've already got piles back there. You just take it to the Get Connected Center, which is right out there when you go out. And on your right, the glass, just walk towards the glass and you'll see it. And boots especially are what's needed. And can I just say, just between you and me, okay, can we just make sure that what we give is stuff that we would wear ourselves? Stuff that we would give to our very favorite people. Don't go through your closets and pull out the stuff that's full of holes and has a weird smell to it. Right? Let's not do that. Can we just treat people that Jesus loves as if they're incredibly precious and valued by God? Yeah? So bring your stuff in, and we'll make sure that it goes to the Y and it gets there. The second announcement I need to make is this coming Friday, we're going to have a Lyft service. It's at 7 o'clock, and it is going to be awesome. I'm so excited. It's my first Lyft service here at Evangel, and we're going to be at the Lighthouse at 7 o'clock, and we're going to have 8 people that are going to be baptized in water, which is awesome. They're going to tell their stories of how Jesus has changed their life. And we're going to have extended worship. We are just going to go for it in worship and praise. And I am pumped about it. It's going to be great. After that, right after that Lyft service is over, we're going to come around the corner and we're going to come back into this space here on Lambert Kloss, because we're going to have coffee for everyone, a chance for you to just connect with people, get to know some people if you don't know everyone. And the building, the full building here, is going to be open. It's going to be an open house. And the reason we decided to do that is we've all been waiting, and you've all been waiting to see the building, and yet on Sundays we have our kids program running, and you know, for our kids' safety, we can't just let people wander through. So we want to give you an opportunity especially to see the whole kids zone. And so it's going to be an open house. You can go up to the balcony, whatever you want to do, this Friday night after the Lyft service. And then after our service this morning, you're going to see people walking around with little trays of food, little bits of samples. And the reason is we have this wonderful man in our congregation. His name is Yannick, and he is supplying us now, our Connect Cafe. He's donating his labor and supplying us with all the bread and the stuff that's down there. I just need you to know, I had a sample of it this week. Oh my word. That's all I have to say. And so he's going to walk, they're going to walk around with some samples at the end of the service so you know what there is downstairs available for purchase, and that gives you an opportunity also to connect with people. I'm going to ask ushers if you would come forward this morning to take our tithes and offerings, and I'm going to say what I said in the first service. I run into so many people that think that the church is funded by government or by some faceless corporation out there. Can I just tell you? No, it's not. And everything we bring in on Sunday is the reason we can pay our bills from Monday to Friday. And so all of our leadership give, Jeff and I give as well. You can give online, you can give through the debit machine, or you can give as the plate goes by. And I just want to say thank you, because we're all in this together, and thank you for helping us to pay the bills. So our God, we say thanks because you've provided for us. You have given us the ability to give back to you. God, it's our desire to live with integrity and with generosity and with transparency. So we ask, God, that you would bless as each person gives and those that are not able to. God, would you just cover it all, make it stretch further than it makes sense, and bless. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, you can go right ahead. And now we come up to my favorite part of the day right now. How many of you have, if I said to you, you know, you'd think about a friend that you made 25 years ago or more, and they're still good friends today, and instantly a name pops into your mind, right? There's some friendships that just keep on going, and it doesn't matter how much time goes by, they're still there. And I want you to know that 25 years ago or so, I'm going to emphasize the or so, Jeff and I got to start a friendship with Pastor Jonathan and Shelley Smith, and we met in Bible college, and it was just one of those, you know, they're just people that you can laugh with, people that are down to earth. What you see is what you get, and they're just the most awesome people in the world. Pastor Jonathan was in our wedding, Jeff's and mine, 24 years ago. And then geography just does what it does, and we didn't cross paths for 15, 20 years maybe. And now we've had the opportunity to reconnect. And so it is my distinct pleasure this morning to welcome back to Evangel, Pastor Jonathan Smith. Would you welcome this morning?
Well, good morning. You know, Pastor Patty was mentioning that I stood in the wedding with Jeff Miller 24 years ago, was it? Yeah. And the gentleman in the front row said, "What were you, the ring bearer?" And then Pastor Bill went and leaned over, "Or the flower girl?" And I was like, come on now, draw the line right there. Well, hey, great to see everybody. It's been a while. It's great to be here this weekend. And to truly celebrate with you, because this is a great weekend to celebrate. I mean, the dedication of this facility to the glory of God, that's great right there. Check that one. But then the installation of your new lead pastor, Patty Miller. Just incredible weekend to celebrate together. And I was thinking about it leading up to this week, that really a weekend like this is really a celebration of some good decisions in life. How many have ever made bad decisions in life? Don't elbow anyone next year. I've made quite a few, and you've probably seen some of them along the way. And so you need to celebrate those good decisions. And I was thinking back to all the good decisions that have led to this moment. And I thought about moments with the leadership of this church where they chose health over the status quo, where they chose the mission of Christ over just having church services. And those were not easy things. But I remember even the moment we began to talk about, what about this facility? What do we do about this? How do we make it more accessible? How do we reach more Montrealers? And the heart behind this facility was always people. It was always about people, serving people. And I admire the leadership of this church and these great decisions that they were a part of. So I thought, you know, I should start with a couple of thank yous first. I want to thank Pastor Patty Miller for coming. You know, for hearing God. You know, finally she was praying to the right God. And she did. She heard God and came here. I'm joking, friends. I'm joking. that she would respond to the invitation of this congregation. I will say this, and I already know that many of you already understand this. You got one of the best in Pastor Patty Miller. I could think of no one more progressive and talented and missionally minded to be the next lead pastor of this church. I believe the best and most effective days of Evangel are right in front of it. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. Thank you, Patty. And then I thought about the leadership of this church. And, you know, when I thought about it, I thought about all the decisions we made along the way. And what I appreciate about them is the leadership of this church was never reckless in their decision-making, but they didn't play it safe. Some people play it so safe in life. And sometimes you get what safety brings. Insulation. Sometimes not effectiveness. But the leadership of this church over the years have chosen to not play it safe, but they've leaned into the challenge and faith part over fear and comfort. Friends, that's a message for each of us in our lives. And then I thought about the staff, and you know, some are in the room, some are serving in other areas of this building today. And you know, such a faithful staff to serve the vision of this church, and I'm thankful for them. And then my friend Pastor Bill Morrow, who came interim and has just bridged between myself and Pastor Patty. You know, he may not have much hair, but there's a lot under that head. And then what a great congregation. In the first service, and I've contained myself in this service, I was quite moved when I got up here, and I got to stop just for a minute. And I saw all you wonderful people. Because your faithfulness to this congregation means that even despite all the changes over the times to reach new generations, to reach Montrealers, you've been faithful to your community here. And I just honor you today. I honor you for your faithfulness to God first, and then your faithfulness to this local community, this church, this body of believers. Well done, friends. Well done. Really, well done. So here we are in a pretty cool room. Like, this is pretty cool. And I had an opportunity to look around this facility yesterday, and I was quite overwhelmed in places, just picking up my jaw, because it's so much better than I could have even imagined. It's beautiful, friends. And I thought about, what's the big deal about space, right? And, you know, what makes a space sacred? What makes this place sacred even today? And you, when you read the Bible, as I know you do, you find that God moved often in rooms. In the Old Testament, you see the temple. And God had this temple, and when God's people came to the temple, the presence of God, they would experience the presence of God. They would experience forgiveness for sins. But it was interesting, in the Old Testament, there was an awe about the presence of God. The undeniable, uncontrollable, untamable, all-powerful God of the universe was present. And people were careful with the presence of God. Friends, may this space, that all the people that come in this space, may they experience God's presence in this place. Amen? Not just today, but in future generations. And then you fast forward to the New Testament, and you come into a completely different looking space, void of all the regality of the temple in the Old Testament. It was called the upper room. Jesus had ascended to heaven, and 120 followers of he gathered in this upper room, and it wouldn't have a cross in it. It wouldn't have the trappings of what we might see as a traditional church, but it was sacred. You know why it was sacred? Because God's people filled that room. They made it sacred. And that's so true of this facility. This facility is just a box, a tool, but when God's people show up, it's sacred space. It's holy ground. Because God dwells among his people. And in the upper room, they experience something different. They experience the presence of God, but in Acts 2 verse 4, it says this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. When they gather and they experience the presence of God, they were equipped. They were endued with power to be a witness for Jesus in the community. So they didn't just come and get. They came, they received, and they went on mission. It was incredible. So all of a sudden, a space like this is sacred because God's here, God's people have gathered here, but then you leave here on mission. Then you leave here with Jesus going into all the areas of Montreal and off the island to extend the message of God's love. It's a wonderful thing that we get to be a part of, isn't it? See, I think sometimes churches become time capsules, monuments to bygone moves of God, bygone eras, even bygone leaders. I don't know where we get that, but sometimes we forget that God, this God of change, right? He never changes, but everything God touches changes. Have you ever noticed that in the Bible? It's incredible. Everything that God touches gets transformed, gets changed. The church, even when it was launched in Acts, kept morphing and changing. God kept moving it, changing it, healing it, growing it, changing the structure of it. So change is always a part of God's mandate. But here's the thing. Sometimes we get stuck. But the prophet, Isaiah, would even say things like this. Behold, I do a new thing. Everybody say the word new. It's not easy, is it? Sometimes we like new. We like new and shiny things. But sometimes we like the same things. The psalmist would say, sing to the Lord a, insert the word, new song, right? Why new? Because new kept you from being stale. Because new made room for future generations. Because new gave new voice and new expression to new forms of worship and love to God, our Savior and King. New is a wonderful thing, but it's not easy. So let's turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2, because I want to, just on this dedication service Sunday, I won't be long, by the way, on this dedication service, I want to read some scripture, reflect on it, about what God calls us to be as a church community, and then I'm going to turn it over to the others, and we'll have the rest of our service. So Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read it starting at verse 14. Are you ready? Doesn't matter, we're going to do it anyway. Let's go. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united the Jews and the Gentiles into one people. That's a significant thought. When in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. What separated us? Hostility did. Wow, okay. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his own death on the cross. And our hostility towards each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you, Gentiles, who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens, along with all God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. I love that word together, don't you? Together. And the cornerstone is Christ himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple of the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made a part of this dwelling where God lives by his Spirit. Beautiful passage of scripture. So in Ephesians, it tells us that Jesus establishes the church. It was his design. It's his body. It was his idea. And he's the one that knits us together and calls us the church. And he tells us in Ephesians, and he tells us right in this passage, that he empowers us. He gives us a power to be able to get along with people that we might have nothing to do with outside the church. It's incredible. All of a sudden, unity doesn't look like uniformity. All of a sudden, unity doesn't look like conformity. All of a sudden, you can have unity with diversity. What's going on here? This ability to radically get along with others and even to connect with and love people outside the church who are radically, deeply, deeply, deeply different than we are. See, when Jesus established his church, he created what could be called a supernatural community. Something that we wish our friendships were and our families were. We wish life provided. And God provides it via the church. Look at the three pictures Paul paints of what the church looks like. He starts out by saying that you are citizens. Citizens. Now, you might be Canadian. You might hold dual citizenship. You might be a citizen of Montreal. But he's saying here, you're a citizen of a heavenly place. Philippians 3:20 says, we are citizens of a heavenly city. So he describes our community here as a place where we're citizens of heaven. Then he goes on to say, and you've been adopted. You have a father now. And now, because you're in family, you're invited into God's family, you have other people that share the same father in heaven. Now you have many brothers and sisters, it says here. Interesting image he uses. And then he doesn't even leave it at just the citizenship and being adopted. He says also, you're like living stones. He says this in verse 21. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. So we're all like spiritual building blocks. And now we are the temple. The temple of God is inside of us. And when we gather, we're living stones and God dwells there. Man, these are fascinating pictures Paul paints because they show the rising intensity of relationship with God. Did you get the first one? When you're a citizen, you have a king in a nation. And he's in relationship with his citizens because they live in the same nation. But when you have a father, he's in the same house as you. And you're his sons and daughters. But when you're a temple, he dwells in you now. Don't you love that? Friends, it's like this progression of intensity of relationship with God. And God designed each one of you to have God's Holy Spirit so inside of you. Not on the peripheral, not beside you, but dwelling inside of you. Boy, our identity is rooted in what Christ has established for us. And then what it shows us is the intensity of our relationship with each other. Do you notice the progression? When you're citizens, so if we're all citizens of this heavenly home, we share, citizens of Montreal share a social contract. You pay your taxes, right? Right? You keep the law, right? Right? And it's a social contract, and it's, we're in relationship to each other. But it's nothing like being family with each other. Adopt it in the family. Well, now we share DNA. Now we share genetics. We share a common historical past. We have the same story. But even deeper than that, when we talk about this temple and being living stones and blocks, when you put those stones down, they're cemented together. And it's saying in this picture that Paul's painting is we are cemented in relationship with each other. I mean, this is a radical concept, friends. This is a radical concept of what the church could look like, that we could have an intense bond of unity between us. When I was 21, I was doing an internship in Birmingham, England, and a great church in the inner city of Birmingham. And one day, two people who were volunteering at a men's shelter took me to work in the men's shelter. And I met this man there, and we quickly discovered we were both Christians. And he was from a different cultural background than me. I had a home. He didn't have a home. We had a different socioeconomic background. We had a different educational path in life. We were of a different generation. He was much older than me. But when we found out we were both Christians, we were carrying on like long-lost brothers. You know why? Because we were long-lost brothers. There are so many differences between us. But the Holy Spirit unites us in unity with each other. We have a common shared history. We have common DNA. We have the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwelling in me that dwells in him. All of a sudden, unity, connection doesn't look like uniformity. All of a sudden, it doesn't look like conformity. Unity can even be expressed in diversity because of what Christ has done. See, this is the beautiful thing about the supernatural community that God calls us into. Look what it says in verse 18. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit of what Christ has done because of what Christ has done for us. It's beautiful. No matter who you are, no matter what your race, your culture, your gender, no matter what your educational path is in life, no matter what you got in your bank account today, all of us come by means of the same way. We're co-citizens if we are in Christ. We've been adopted into the same family, and we are cemented together because of the work of Christ. Now, those are great preaching moments. Those are warm and fuzzy moments. Don't you love that? When you think around, you look around, take a look around you, you're just going, we're brothers and sisters. This is great. You know, we got unity. But we know it doesn't often work out that way, does it? I mean, because community is messy. It's messy. And you know what? It's hard to go deep with people. We live in a culture that loves to skate on the surface, don't we? You know, social media doesn't reveal who you are. It's who you control what other people see about who you are. You know, to be known is a little bit messy because it's vulnerable. It's tough to tell people the truth, isn't it? It's tough to open up your life to other people. And I'm always say to people, be careful who you open your life up to, right? Not everybody's you can trust with your life. But there is something about the body of Christ. We are called into deep community with each other. Hebrews says it this way. I love what the writer of Hebrews says. He says this, speaking to Christians like us today. And maybe you're not a Christian here today, and we're glad you're here. And maybe as you hear a little bit more about his community, maybe this is something you might consider being a part of. But Hebrews says this, but encourage one another. You like that word encourage? Everybody say the word encourage. Encourage, yeah. Now that Greek word actually means confront, argue with, counsel. It's a very interesting word. Now encourage one another daily so that none of you will be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Two things it makes an assumption. One is that sin is deceitful and you might not be aware of your own sin. Have you ever been blind to your sin until somebody pointed it out? Anyone have the gift of someone in your life that points out some things along the way? I married her and she's amazing and she's here today and I'm glad to have her in my life, but you know that's a gift to you. But the second assumption is that you're involved in someone's life that they can see when you're coming off the rails. You're close enough. See, a family member's interesting. You know, you might be special in other people's eyes, but to the family, you're just Jonathan, right? Or you're just whoever your name, you insert the name, because they know you. You know, if you ever get too big for your britches, as we used to say out east, your family has a way of bringing you down a peg or two, right? Like, okay, buddy, I know who you are. Stop that, right? And that's a gift of family because they're close enough. They know who you are. They know your quirks and quirks, and they know your follies. They know all of that about you, and they love you despite it. And that's the kind of picture Paul's painting here, that we would lean into and find that redemptive community. Listen, if you're new here and you're looking for a perfect church, this is the wrong one, right? Because all the perfect people left a long time ago. And that Pastor Patty's way better than I am. I'm telling you that right now. But even she's not perfect. Close, but not perfect. And her husband, Jeff, he may be, I've known Jeff over 27 years. Wow, that's a long time, Jeff. And he is one of the nicest, warmest guys you'll ever meet, but he is a Leaf fan. So you already know that he's not perfect. Because it's true, right? It's true. It's just a fact. That's all. I'm sorry, Jeff. It's just a fact. Here's how do you get that type of community, though? How do you get that? Because we've been a part of churches or families or things where that type of unity is evasive and it hides from us or it's easily lost. Well, the scripture tells us here in Ephesians that we need, every one of us needs a spiritual heart surgery done on us. Because in verses 14 and 16 of Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about a tumor that is lodged in each of our hearts that needs to be removed. Here's what Paul says and calls the tumor. He says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He broke down the wall of hostility." That's a big word, isn't it? The word can be translated hatred. You know, this is a word that we don't like to use in church or infer that any one of us could have that, but Paul says that lurks in all of our hearts. It lurks in every human's heart. We can become so judgmental. We can have hostility. Sometimes it's passive-aggressive. Usually it is in church settings. It's more passive-aggressive. It's more cultured. It's cloaked. It's disguised. But Paul says that needs to change. See, in the text, it's the Jews and the Gentiles that are hostile with each other. Not unlike we can see in modern-day culture. We have the French and the English, male and the female, cultures, old and young, and there's sometimes a hostility that we allow to happen in that context. And here's what's interesting in the text. This is amazing when you read it. You realize the thing that separates the Jews and the Gentiles is actually a good thing. It's weird. It's the law. The Jews are proud of the law. They take great joy in the law. And that's the problem. They're proud of how they keep the law, or try to, and take joy in it. And it gives them a moral authority then to look down on the Gentiles. This happens, let's unpack this a little bit in a setting like this. I have pastored multicultural churches for over 20 years. And it's the best type of church. I love it. But you know what's funny? On occasion, I get to do a marriage between two different cultures. And that's kind of fun and interesting. I remember one marriage I did. It wasn't at this church. I should have said that in the first service because people might have been wondering. It wasn't at this church. But on one side of the church was a culture of people who keep time. And if you're late 5 minutes, you're late. So 5 minutes before the ceremony's to start, they're all sitting there. On the other side of the church was a culture that late was a bit more ambiguous. It was flexible, thank you. It was a bit more flexible. And so about a half an hour after it was supposed to start, they're arriving. And so you can feel this tension. I'm up front, and I'm just going, oh, I can feel this tension here. Because this group is not saying, oh, they're different. This group is saying, we're better. Why? Because they're not sensitive to time. They, you know, aren't they considerate? We showed up on time, the blah, blah, blah. You can hear it all, right? And this group kind of picks up on it, and then they start going, and they're going, oh, yeah, we know people like this. They're not relational. They're not, they don't care about people. They care about their time, precious time. And instead of creating a different dialogue, we're just saying, hey, we're all different here. They begin to moralize it. No, we're better. No, we're better. Every culture has strengths. Every culture brings something different to the table. Generations bring different things to worship environments like this. You know, men and women bring different things to environments like this, and we need it all. We need it all, friends. And Paul is saying there's a general hostility in the hearts of people. And sometimes it works its way out in churches, and it looks very different. Sometimes it's people with a mercy gift, and they feel opposed to people with an administrative gift. So when you run a church, you'll often have people who are administrating, and they're thinking of liability issues. They're thinking about, you got to keep the security, you got to lock these doors. And the people with the mercy gift are like, why can't people live here 24/7? What? You're not about people. And these people are over here saying, well, you're dangerous. You know, you're not cleaning up after everybody. You're not securing this stuff. And all of a sudden you get this moralization. This person feels superior. Or this person, because they have a mercy gift, feels superior. And Paul says, because of the gospel, nobody can feel superior. No one can. Because we come the same way. Every single one of us comes the same way to Christ. All of us. Listen, those who are late, those who are on time, those who are smart, those who are well-educated, those who are not, those who have economical prowess, those who do not, those who are young, those who are old, every one of us comes the way, same way to the cross, because it says in the gospel that there was a hostility between God and us, and it had to change. Peace needed to come. And to be reconciled to God, it required humility. The gospel humbles us all in this room, doesn't it? Every one of us needed Jesus Christ. Every one of us needed grace. Every one of us, doesn't matter who we are in this room, doesn't matter who we think we are, we all come to the same place because there's not one human being breathing in this room better than the other. We're different, but there's not one better. That's why wherever Christianity goes, authentic Christianity, it raises the dignity of the oppressed. It's a voice to those who are suffering under the weight of prejudice or racism or gender prejudice or anything else. Christianity always elevates. And, you know, Jesus' power structure in Scripture was never power over people. It was power under people. And always lifted them up. I love that about our Christ. I love that about his church. When the church is operating properly, you see that in spades. You see that they're a blessing to their community. They're a blessing to their city. See, God humbles you first via the gospel, then he affirms you. Look at verse 16. He says, on the cross, our hostility towards each other was put to death. You're going, I thought Jesus died. But our hostility was put on Jesus. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. God made Jesus sin. Doesn't mean he made him sinful, but it means God treated Jesus just as our sin deserved. God treated Jesus just as our hatred and hostility deserved. God treated Jesus just like we deserved. He took our place and got what we deserved so we could take his place and get what he deserved. Isn't that beautiful what the gospel does? How can you not feel special? How can you not feel affirmed when you know what Jesus Christ has done for every one of you? Sometimes we sit there and we scratch our head and we feel less than the people around us. Oh, beloved, you don't know who you are in Christ. You don't understand how much he treasures you. And if you're feeling better than other people, oh, beloved, you don't understand the humility it takes to come to him. We don't come with all of our awards and prowess. We come humbly and say, but for the grace of God. But for the grace of God. So friends, why talk about this on a building dedication Sunday and the installment of a wonderful new lead pastor in this church? Don't ever forget who you are. You might be a female in this room today, but you're a Christian female. You might be a male in this room, but you're a Christian man. You might be Asian in this room, but you're a Christian Asian. You might be Caucasian in this room, but you're a Christian Caucasian. You might be Afro-Canadian in this room, but you're a Christian one. Before your identity here on earth, you are in Christ. Christ changes everything. He does. That's why we can have unity that the rest of the world looks in and says, what is that about? And then from that unity, they see the love. And from that love, they see the Christ. It's incredible what we get to do. So what do? Friends, I want to charge you to look out for your leaders. I want to encourage you to look out for Pastor Patty and Jeff. As God has called them here, Hebrews says this, have confidence in your leaders. Have confidence in your leaders. Submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as somebody who must give an account. There's a weight on leaders that you might not understand. They will someday give an account for how they led. And he goes on to say, do this so that their work will be joy, not a burden, for what that would be of no benefit to you. So in this space and time, God has all of you here. And you're part of a community, a supernatural community. And every one of us needs a spiritual surgery to remove that cancer, that tumor of hostility between us and people who are different than us. And all of a sudden, we're looking for what unifies us in the middle of that. So friends, protect, watch over your leaders. Look out for them so that they might have great joy in their work and leading the responsibility God has given them to lead this spiritual community. And then friends, you get a choice in this. Choose to be different than the world. Choose to be a community that loves deeply. You know, the people around you, they're family. They're family. You say you have no family in Canada. If you're in Christ, that's not true. Blood may be thicker than water, but the Spirit is thicker than blood. God bless you, friends.
Thank you so much, Pastor Jonathan, for that just awesome word. We're just so grateful for that. We get to this morning move forward into dedicating this building to God. And I told you, if you were here a few weeks ago, that there were a couple of moments that helped me and helped Jeff to know that this was the place that God was calling us to. And one of the moments I told you about a couple weeks ago, just it was out there on the street when just we were with Pastor Jonathan and he knew someone that was out there that didn't have a home and knew them by name. And I thought, if this is the kind of church where the pastor can know people on the street by name, That's something that's good. And the other moment was when we walked into this space, and I didn't even tell Jeff that at the time, didn't tell anyone at the time, but walked into this space right here, and it was still under construction, and nobody was in, and we walked in, and there was just this quiet moment of, yeah, this could be home. This place could be home. This could be the space where God's called us to come next. And so it's such a pleasure for me to be able to be here as we rededicate this building to God. It's just awesome. And so when we were moving here from Ontario, I had a number of people ask me, you know, do you know anybody in Quebec? And I said, I don't know a soul in Quebec. And was leaving Western Ontario District where I had grown up. That's the district of our fellowship, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. I was born and raised there. All my pastoring's been there. Knew everybody there and coming here and didn't know anyone. And a couple weeks ago when I was in Toronto, as most of you know, and was in there for our general executive meetings for our denomination, I got to sit and have lunch with our district superintendent here, our Quebec district superintendent. And I actually found myself at lunch sitting between the Western Ontario district superintendent and the Quebec district superintendent. And so I turned to him and I said, Pastor Michelle, could you just tell me about Montreal, tell me about Quebec, tell me what I need to know. You know, tell me who you are, what's your story? And he just started pouring out his heart. And I sat there so thankful to God because this is a man who is so down to earth and real, so passionate for people, and so in love with God. And I said, thank you, God, that you are taking me to a place where this is the person who is over me and who is my pastor. So I'm going to ask you if you would help me to welcome my pastor, Pastor Michelle Bisseillon, our district superintendent, to dedicate our building this morning.
Thank you, Patty. Hallelujah. It is a blessing for me today to be with you for this special occasion. And we will do the dedication of the building here. But we need to remember, and I really appreciate the message of Pastor Jonathan, because he prepared a way for this dedication, talking about people, talking about the church, talking about the real church. Church is not the building. Church is who we are. When we come here, we are the church in the beautiful facility. And your facility is really beautiful. But today I will need your help when we will do the dedication. And I will ask you to stand, if you would like, with me. You will see, appearing to the screen, a part that you need to be involved with me. And we are here because we want to worship our Lord, and He's faithful. And because we are here in unity, and unity is because of the Spirit of God in our heart, we will do this dedication together. Having been challenged by the hand of the Lord and enabled by His grace and power to rebuild this house of worship, to be used for the glory of His name, we now dedicate this facility to Him. The glory of God, our Father, from whom come every good and perfect gift, your part. Hallelujah. For the faith, vision, and sacrifice of the people who saw the potential of this building. For the corporate worship of God, our Father, Jesus Christ the Son, our Lord and Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our comforter and guide. For the continued study, preaching, and teaching of the Bible, God's infallible Word. As a place where the hurting can be healed, lost souls will find hope, deliverance come from those in bondage, Christians can be strengthened in their faith, and those who are discouraged will be refreshed. For the guiding of children in Christian faith, the reaching of young people, and the enrichment of the home and the community. In the living out of the gospel in this community, in this country, and through missionary endeavors throughout the world. May no discord or no note of strife ever be heard within these walls. No unholy spirit of pride or worldliness find a place here. May God graciously use this physical facility, our offering of a building for use in His name. May every person who sacrificed to make this facility possible be blessed through their giving. May many find Christ in this place, experience the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and be set free by the power of the blood of Jesus. Let be a place where men and women, students and children, are called into the service of God's great kingdom and make an impact around the world until the day of Christ's return. To the glory of God, our Father, by whose favor we have obtained this facility, to the honor of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God and our Savior, to the praise of the Holy Spirit, source of light and life. Together, we dedicate this. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, I affirm this house to be consecrated to the worship and services of Almighty God, to whom be the glory and majesty, dominion, and power forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless our coming in and our going out from this time and forever. Amen. We will take a time for prayer, and I would like to ask Pastor Jonathan to join me to get here in front. You know, I know Jonathan for the last maybe 7-8 years. And one of the things that I know, it's the heart that he has for Montreal. The Lord put something in his heart for this city, not only for this city, but for this church. And I really appreciate his passion, his love, and today I will ask him to pray for this dedication.
Thank you, Pastor Michelle. Let's pray. Father, in this sacred moment, we know that we stand on the shoulders of those who have come before us. We think of the people with the original vision for a church in Montreal that would proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, that would talk about Holy Spirit empowerment. And God, we celebrate the faithfulness of those who have come before us. And in this moment, God, we want to be faithful for the years to come. And Lord, we dedicate this facility for your glory. May it be used to make much of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that lives would be changed, like transformed radically by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That peace and reconciliation would be extended to this city. That there would be change from the inside and out, God. And start with us, Lord. Lord, we dedicate ourselves afresh and anew to you today to be the type of church that would be a magnet to people who feel lost, who feel disconnected, who feel marginalized, who don't know that there is a God in heaven that loves them. Let our voice ring out in this city that Jesus loves this city, and we are an extension of him in this community. Bless Montreal. Bless this city. Bless this church's witness in this city. Bless the leadership of this church. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. Amen.
The words of Christ passed down through generations. The Son of God teaching us to pray. Echoed words, Father, have your trust, you're faithful in provision.
Will you say it with me, Our Father? God bless you. You may be seated. We are so glad you're with us today. You're our special guest. This is church for us. This is home. We do want to introduce a couple of guests to you, however, this morning that we thought you might like to get to meet. We have a traveling speaker, international, all over the world, speaks in many places. Again, maybe it's been here before. Marie Miller's with us today. Marie, I saw you earlier. Where did you hide? Where are you hiding? Right there. And then we also have our general superintendent. Pastor Michelle is the district superintendent of Quebec. There are 8 districts in the nation. Each of them has a superintendent. Then we have a general superintendent that leads all of them and the church and the fellowship. And we're probably in about 45 countries of the world. And that person happened to also be with us today. Our general superintendent, Reverend David Wells, is with us. And he's going to stand and wave. And he's actually going to pray at the end when we come to the installation service. And then we have guests that you already know. But they are guests because they're visiting with us today. We have Keenan. Where did Keenan go? He was on the guitar. He's over here. Keenan? Come on, Keenan, stand. And Calum is somewhere. Where's Calum? And Shelley. Pastor Jonathan's wife and boys. And so that I'll probably hear about that later, but nevertheless, it was worth doing anyway. I kind of enjoyed that. Actually. Now, let me tell you, a dedication is a really important moment. A dedication knits our hearts with God's for the purpose of the church. We heard about it in the message this morning. We're about to go into an installation service, and what that does is that says to God that our hearts are knit with our new leader, our new pastor, and her heart is knit with us. We own each other. There's a divine ownership that takes place. And I am so proud and so honored to work with Patty Miller. She is just such an amazing person. And Michelle is going to come and lead us. Go ahead. And lead us in that service of installation where we say to God, our hearts are knit together, and we say to God, do with us whatever you want. Pastor Michelle, come and lead us, please.
Thank you, Pastor Bill. Thank you, Pastor Bill. Yeah, it is a special moment to do the installation of Pastor Patty. And I will ask Pastor Patty and Jeff just to come up here and join me. I will ask also the lead team of the church and the staff of the church to come up front with us. I will also ask David Wells to join us this morning, but he wanted to take a picture before. Okay, no problem. You know, it is an installation. It is a moment, a special moment. And one of the reasons it's because it's we talk about family here, and you know, there's alliance that Christian we are in, and the installation, pastoral installation. It's an alliance between the pastors, the couple, the staff, the lead team, and also the church. And you will have your part in that installation further. But we will start today this installation by just saying that it is important for a church to be united. And I really appreciate the message of Pastor Jonathan about this. And we are different, but we are one because of Christ. Dear friend, we are gathered here to officially induct Patty Miller as the lead pastor of this church. Among the ministering gift given to the church by Jesus Christ is the ministry of pastoring. It is a holy calling bearing great responsibility. It is the duty of every pastor to model both public and private prayer and study God's words that they might give spiritual leadership to the local church according to the New Testament pattern. They are to preach the Word of God and to faithfully perform the responsibility required of a minister of the gospel, such as the celebration of Lord's Supper, the baptism of believers, the dedication of children, the prayer for the sick, the performing of marriages and funerals, offering spiritual guidance to people in need of pastoral care, and to equip believers for the work of the ministry. Pastor Patty, are you prepared to officially assume the role of the pastor of this church and faithfully serve the assembly as the scriptures would mandate? If so, please answer, I am.
I am.
Do you affirm that God has called you to preach the gospel and that it is your intention to devote this year of your life to the promotion of this good news to this church and community? If so, please answer, I do.
I do.
Do you believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, inerrant and infallible, and the only authentic and reliable foundation for faith and practice? Do you declare that you will be true to the word of God in your preaching and in your personal life in order that you might be an example to the believers? Do you believe that you are in the will of God at this particular time and that you have been called and chosen of God to serve this congregation? If so, answer, I do.
I do.
Now, Jeff, you know, Christian in Montreal really love Toronto fans. Well, I said Christian. Hallelujah. Jeff, the work of the pastor is augmented and encouraged by the partnership of a true and loving spouse. Are you, Jeff, prepared to stand with your wife in this, in the discharging of her duty? Will you encourage and support her with your prayer, with your attention, and assist her in every way possible to fulfill the obligations of this pastorate? If so, answer, I will.
I will.
Member of the lead team and staff, I charge you to be true to your calling and to be concerned about the practical comfort of this and support of this woman of God. Do you offer yourself under the visionary leadership of this pastor to attend the affairs of this church so it will maintain its good reputation in the community? Do you seek to fulfill the scriptural mandate of a deacon, that being a servant leader, in order to lift the load of the pastor whatever possible so that she may be able to devote herself more fully to the ministry of the word and prayer? If so, please answer, we do. Will you be people of prayer and godly character as an example to the other members of this congregation? Will you commit yourself to keep the unity of faith so that the church will remain harmonious under the leadership of this pastor? If so, please answer, we will.
We will.
Do you individually and collectively acknowledge the privilege of leadership to which you have been chosen and recognize that it is God who has entrusted you with these responsibilities? If so, answer, we do.
We do.
Hallelujah. Now there's a part that you need to be with us, and I will ask you to stand, if you please. I charge you to respect this woman of God as an under-shepherd of your soul, and to recognize that she ministers as one who must give an account to God. Be ready and diligent to hear the word of God, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Remember that we all must give an account before God of our stewardship of time, energy, and resources. Love and esteem your pastor, praying daily for her as the visionary leader of this church, that God would bless her, enlarge her territory, that the hand of the Lord would be with her, and that she would be kept from all harm and evil. As member of this congregation, do you covenant together to work in unity with your pastor in extending the gospel in its purity and power to this community and to the whole world? If so, please answer, we do.
We do.
Now, upon the authority of the District of Quebec, of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, Pastor Patty, I officially install you as the lead pastor of Evangel Pentecostal Church, Quebec, charging you to be diligent and faithful to Christ and His church. May the blessing of the Lord rest upon you now and until Jesus come. I will ask David. Amen. I will ask Reverend David Wells to come and pray for the couple, but also the team and the church.
Thank you, Michelle. And Evangel, on behalf of your national family, we do want to celebrate with you and congratulate you on the dedication of this facility. And know that God has many more great years of touching Montreal and beyond from your congregation here. But I want to let you know we also believe nationally that you have chosen wisely. The Lord has led you to bring this fine woman to serve in leadership in your congregation. She serves on our national leadership. She's a great gift to us there. And so we honor her and Jeff today, and we're happy to lay hands on her and pray God's Spirit to really do a deep work in their lives for everything that God has called them to. And I'm going to invite you to put your hands out as well. Would you reach out? And it's as if you were here with me right now. We just lay hands on Patty and Jeff in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we honor you first of all for the fact that you are Lord over all. We're so grateful to be under your leadership. We know what loving, wise, holy, gracious leadership looks like because we know you. And out of your great love, you have decided to give gifts to the church. Leaders after your own heart, good shepherds, people that will share the word, that will feed us. Lord, we thank you for Patty and her call to be a good shepherd. And we pray, Lord, that you will just allow your word to be alive in her in even a deeper and fresher way than she's ever known before. That what she shares with this congregation will come from such depths of your Spirit, with such authority, Spirit-enlivened, Lord, that, Lord, it will truly be truth that sets people free. Lord, we thank you that as a good leader, you are the one who shows wisdom, knowledge, understanding, grace. And we pray as a good shepherd that Patty would be filled with such wisdom, direction. Thank you for the good people that surround her. Thank you for Jeff, her leadership team, and others who surround her life. May wisdom just prevail in this church community, we pray. Father, we thank you that your heart comes through this woman. Thank you for her passion for those who do not know you. Thank you for her passion for the broken and the downcast, for the ones that are alienated and set alone. Thank you, Lord, that that's an expression of your heart. And we pray, Father, that that heart will be at the very pulse of Montreal Evangel. And Lord, we ask that you will protect her heart. Protect her and Jeff and their marriage. Protect them, Lord, body, soul, and spirit, we pray. We pray they will be strong in you and in the power of your might. We just intercede right now in Jesus' name, in the Spirit. Lord, your Spirit doing what no human can do. Supernatural strength for her in the journey ahead, we pray. And so, Lord, we set her apart again to your service, to honor you. We set this couple apart to you, Lord, to glorify you as only they can do because they're called by you and chosen by you together. We set this leadership team together apart to you. May this be like a fresh calling for every staff member, every lead team member, Lord. We ask, Lord, that all of us will serve you with the diligent heart of the Good Shepherd. So we commit her to you now, and we commission her to the leadership she has been called to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
All the clouds went gray, all the earth restored.
So our God, we do give you glory and honor and praise because you are God in the highest. You have been so gracious to us, so good to us. You're the reason we're here at all. You're the reason for all of it. We honor you today. Bless you, our God. And God, we're bringing this service to a close, and yet, really, it's to start again. It's a new beginning. So, God, we just pause to say thank you. Really thank you for everything that you have done all through the history of this church, this body of believers. Thank you for all that you have done. And God, we look forward to the future and all that you have planned. All that you have planned for this space and this group and this city. And we say, God, bring it on. Bring it on. Bring to pass everything that you have planned so that people in Montreal can meet Jesus and our city can be changed and impacted for you. God, we ask in the name of Jesus that your Holy Spirit would settle an anointing on each person here. You would help us to carry Jesus well as we go out to our workplaces, as we go to school, as we go to our family, to our neighborhoods, everywhere we just live and breathe. Would you help us this week to carry Jesus well, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and to show people who you are? I ask your covering and your blessing and your safety over each one, that you would bring us back safely next week. And we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. And once more, everybody said together, amen. 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 God bless you all. There is coffee downstairs, samples of bread and stuff going around the foyer. Make sure you say hi to someone, and we'll see you next week.